Megillus, no, it's
there's the introductions. A few words of introduction to Sefer Ruth. Well, thanks for sticking with us until now. The first four words of Sefer Ruth, Vayihi b'yemei Shvayta Shaftim, it wasn't the day that the judges judged. So one might think that the Sefer is giving you a point of reference. You want to know when the events happened? It happened at the point of history when the judges judged.
What would it be after?
That's all. That's the only words we're doing today from this topic.
By Hebe may what?
Shvayt Hashayfim. It was when the judges judged. The problem with this approach is that the judges judged for a period of 350 years. They judged from the death of Yeshua. Yeshua brought the Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. They captured Eretz Yisrael from the Canaan. And when he passed away, then the judges took over.
When Yeshua
passed away, the judges took over.
Until?
And they ruled. There was a series of judges that ruled until the time of King Saul, which was 350 years. So, you know, the pasuk is not narrowing it down at all.
Okay.
It's not, you know. So, if you want to know when the events took place, the source for this is the Gemara in Bava Basra. And I'm not going to go into all the chronology, I'll give you the dates. But the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf, Tzadik Aleph, and Aleph, identifies some of the figures in Sefer Ruth. Here's the Mar Boaz. Boaz figures prominently in Sefer Ruth. Boaz is the one that ultimately marries Ruth. Boaz is the great grandfather of David HaMelech. Who is Boaz? Boaz is not mentioned in any other sefer but Ruth. You know, it's the only, you know, you look throughout all of Tanakh, you're not going to find Boaz anywhere else. So the Gemara tells us who Boaz was. The Gemara tells us Boaz is otherwise known as Ivtson.
How do you spell that?
Aleph Vez Tzadik Nun Sofis.
One more time?
Aleph Vez Tzadik Nun Sofis. Ivtson and Boaz are the same thing. Now who is Ivtson? This is right here in Barbasa, Tzadik Aleph, I'm an Aleph. Ibsen, the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbah by Rahuna, I'm a Rav. Rabbah by the son of Huna, says in the name of Rav. Ibsen's a Boaz. So you don't know who Boaz is Ibsen. So the Gemara identifies, even though Boaz is not mentioned by that name anywhere else, but he was known by another name, Ibsen, and we know when Ibsen lived.
When did it?
And I'll tell you. The Gemara says, that Ibsen was someone that he made. He had 30 sons, he had 30 daughters, and he married them all off. And his two sons and daughters, they came to a tragic end.
All 60 of them?
Yeah. Boaz was childless. At the time of Sefer Ruth, Boaz was childless.
How old was Boaz at the time?
He was older. It was the last day of his life.
Was he really rich?
No, but how old?
Yes, he was wealthy.
I don't know
the exact age.
Malach or something like that?
What?
Didn't like some of the deal with like the Zahara, something, Satan?
Yeah, what?
Said like, I bet you Boaz because like he, like, suppose it was like pretty.
Maybe you're thinking of Eif.
Okay,
Maybe you're thinking of Eif. But Boaz was wealthy.
that he made 60 suddas, 60 chasnas.
He made two mishtas for each one. So 60 kids, he made two mishtas. You know, he made two mishtas. It's 120 chasnas suddas, and he didn't invite someone by the name of Manoach. Manoach
was the father of Shimshon,
but he wasn't the father of Shimshon yet. Him and his wife were childless. And Boaz had 60 kids, and he didn't invite Manoach, and Manoach felt hurt. He felt excluded, and there was a repercussion, and the consequence was for not inviting Manoach, for every child that Boaz did not invite Manoach to his mishteh, that child died. So Boaz had 60 children. He made mishtahs for 60 children. He didn't invite Manoach to any of those, so all his children died. And then Manoach,
Navi is the king.
No, it doesn't. The Chazal don't talk about him in such high glory. Doesn't in such high glory terms.
They invite him. He's got to be something big.
No, they don't talk about him in such high glory terms.
So why?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, we're going to talk about David HaMelech. Why? Where David HaMelech came from? There's a whole.
Like, why should he have been invited? Who cares?
Well, the Chazal say that the reason why he didn't invite him is because he didn't feel that he counted because he was childless.
Oh.
You know, some of it's not part of the Hemshech HaIlam. Some of it's not part of... There's a medrash that talks about the Migdal Bavel. The Migdal Bavel, they wanted to get everyone. They wanted to get everyone, and if they would have had everyone, Chazal say they would have been successful.
Through the father of Shimshon?
Manoach, yeah.
What's Migdal David?
Migdal Bavel. The Tower of Babel.
God. So
I really can't go into that length now, but it says in it, it says it's almost a fairish pasuk that if they would have stayed together and in unity, then they would have been matzliach. They would have had success in whatever they were endeavoring.
By the second one,
by the Tower of Babel.
Mm.
There's one person they didn't get. That was Avram.
Mm.
Avram was alive at the time. They didn't get him. He's the only one they didn't get.
He was the other.
They tried to get him.
He was on the other side.
They tried it. He was on the other side. Abraham Ivri. He took on the whole world. They tried to get him. He wouldn't do it. He's not doing it. He's not joining together with them. So then why'd they bother building it? If they knew that they had to have everyone, why'd they bother? You're missing one. They are doomed to failure. Why? The Gemara says because they felt he didn't count because he was impotent.
Yeah,
not just childless. He was impotent.
He wasn't
capable of having children.
Born with the partner.
Right. And his wife also.
Yeah.
He was impotent. So you see from that medrash. You see, so they were wrong because even though he was impotent, but that's only because it wasn't time for him to have a child yet.
Yeah,
when the time came for him to have children, so then he was able to have children. So they made a very, 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 very grave
mistake. And if he succeeded,
so mistake.
On the world.
I'm glad that they didn't succeed.
So we make a connection between Avram and Manoach.
Right, so Boaz's view was they invited the people to his mishnah. They're part of the continuity of the world, and some of it's not part of the continuity of the world, so obviously God chose this person to end. You know, someone that doesn't have children, he just ends, and that's not part of his mishnahs weren't just parties. His mishnahs were to bring people together to continue God's way in the world. See, he excluded him and he was punished for it. He lost all his children. Yeah, he lost all of his children and he was wiped out.
Boaz actually thought like the other people and said, "Well, look, all of them who's impotent and any kids."
Well, I was the one that made that comparison. That's my own comparison, but I think it's just, it's justifiable. I was just showing you the source for that in the Torah. And so Boaz is his son and he was childless. And his wife died in the middle of Sefer Rus. His wife died, so he was childless. He was wifeless. And it was the last day of his life. Okay, it was the last day of his life. So Boaz was. When did Ibtson live? So there's a sefer called Toldos Am Olam, which is a very valuable sefer if you want to know the chronology. Toldos Am Olam, that he bases everything on Chazal. And he puts Ibtson in the year 2792. So the events 2792 from the creation of the world, which is 3,000 years ago. A little bit less than 3,000 years ago.
And the Sefer told us, Am Olam tells us that they came into Eretz Yisrael in the year 2488. That's when Yeshua came in. So they came in 2488, and this incident, the set of incidents with Bayez and Rus happened 2792. That's 304 years later. This is 304 years after Yeshua went in. And roughly 150 years later, the Beis HaMikdash was built. Right, so you have Bayez, and then you have four generations till David, and then Shlomo is the fifth generation. That's the chronology. Is this clear?
Just still don't hear that.
What? So far, so good? What part do you want me to repeat?
The four generations.
Lot's part two.
David is four generations after Bayez, and his son Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash.
And so there was 27, from 2792 to 2488 is 4 generations.
304 years, and then, no, that's...
What happened at 2488?
They went into Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, it was from Moab.
2792 is when Boaz married Ruth.
Lot was from Sarah?
Yes, she was a sister.
She was a sister of...
Yeah.
Lot was her...
Lot and Sarah were brother and sister.
That's only
Ruth's side,
that's for
Lot. Yeah, it all counts. I mean, this is all part of the calculation. All right, so who wrote Sefer Ruth? Sefer Ruth is not a history book, as we know. Sefer Ruth was revealed in prophecy to the prophet Shmuel. The prophet Shmuel. Well, he was old at the time of David, yeah. It does. He passed away during the reign of King Saul. Right after King Saul. So he was the one that was revealed to him in prophecy. The words of Sefer Ruth were not made up by some historian to describe the time. They were revealed to a prophet Shmuel in prophecy. And he's the one that was the Mechaber of Sefer Ruth. Okay, so that's the historical context. Okay, so Shmuel is the author. The events happened around the year 7092, which is roughly 150 years before the Beis HaMikdash. David,
150 years?
Roughly. Bayez was the father of Oved. Oved was the father of Yishai. And Yishai was the father of David. And David was the father of Shlomo. So it should give you a bit of a perspective. Alright, so the pasuk starts with Vayibim Eshvayt Lashayftim was in the time of the judges of a judge. And it tells us about a famine. So I'll read the first pasuk. And the Mitzvah will continue with the first pasuk on Sunday in the Yomishim. Vayibim Eshvayt Lashayftim was in the day that the judges were judged. It's going to take time. Vayirav Aretz, there was a famine in the land. So Eretz Yisrael was hungry. And a man, it doesn't tell us who, went from Beis Lachem, Bethlehem. He left Israel to live in the land of Moab, which is southeast of Eretz Yisrael. So it doesn't tell us who. It tells us that it was the day when it was in the days when the judges judged. That's number one. Then there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. An anonymous man went to Moab, that means he left Israel because he was hungry. Who? Him. The Ishtai, his wife. Vishnei Banav and his two sons. So he's not identified, no one's identified. And we'll see in the psukim, the upcoming psukim, that his name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Nami, and his children were Machlon and Kilian. But the first pasuk doesn't tell us anything about that. So in way of introduction, you see that this first pasuk is not interested in conveying the historical facts. It's not even giving us any information to identify anyone. It's just it's leaving out all identifying characteristics and telling us that there was a famine and someone left. Now, we're talking about personal guilt. We're talking about it was wrong of the person to leave. he made a bad choice. Or maybe he made a good choice. He should have left because he's hungry, you know. So then it would tell us who it is. But the very fact that the Parsha starts out without any identifying marks or characteristics, so that means it's telling us the bare facts that there was a famine and someone left. And it's irrelevant who left. It's telling us, yeah, there's a famine, he left. So the Chazal elucidate this. And they comment, you know, this, that this famine was Minashamayim. The Targum tells us that there were 10 very, very, very severe famines since the time that the world was created until the time of the King Mashiach. So we're bracketing, you know, the period of famines from the time the world was created until the famines, food famine, yeah. When there's no food, when you're hungry.
No, but I'm saying the Torah famine.
That's not what, no. These are famines. And the purpose of these famines are to keep people on the straight and narrow.
So it's, there was,
no, maybe we're not finished. Yeah,
does
it's
have a list of how many?
Here's the list. Oh,
there were four great famines.
There was a famine in the time of Adam. I never knew that.
Yeah. I don't either.
Adam?
That's part of
Adam's call. I guess he asked Coach Vidar to touch me. That's
part of Adam's call.
Thorns and thistles.
Yeah.
That's over Star Wars, sure.
Very good.
No?
It's over G.
Over G?
Yeah. There's a famine in the time of Adam. There's another one in the time of Lamech. Lamech is 8 generations after Adam. Lamech was descended from Cain.
So there was one in the time of Adam.
Another one in Lamech. It's about 8 generations later.
The Mabel considered a flood?
No.
Melech is Mem, Lamed,
Endechav? Lamech. Lamed, Lamech. Lamed, Mem, Endechav. About Avraham Avinu, there was a famine. Yitzchak, there was a famine.
What was Yitzchak?
He went down to Plishtim.
Yosef, there was a famine.
Yaakov, there was a famine. The Yosef one is Yaakov.
So, it's
Adam, Lamech, Avim, Yitzchak, Yaakov.
Yaakov is Yosef, right?
Yes. Boaz, so this is the sixth one, and the Targum says Boaz is called Avtson. So the Targum learns his real name was Boaz and he was called Avtson. Boaz is called Avtson. Tzadika is a tzaddik. Demin Beis Lachem Yehuda Yisrael Beis Lachem.
That's it.
No, there's more.
Oh, there's more.
It's interesting, we're identifying the famines and we're connecting them with names. We're connecting the famines with names.
That helps the time error, you know, when to put
it. Yeah, but then you don't have to talk about Boaz and his other name, he's a tzaddik, he's from Beis Lachem.
Because it's probably in Megillah Source that talks about that.
Yeah.
Possibly.
What was the seventh one?
Seventh one is David.
Yeah.
Yeah, David Melech Yisrael.
When did that happen by David?
I don't know. I wish I knew. The eighth one was Eliyahu HaNavi.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the 10 tribes. There was a big famine in the time of the 10 tribes. The ninth one is in the time of Elisha. Oh, Josh. Mm-hmm. And the 10th one is still yet to come. And that will not be a famine for bread. That will not be a thirst for water.
Yeah,
that will be a famine and a thirst to hear the words of prophecy. It'll be a famine for prophecy. That's what it says here. The word of God, Piskan Mavua. The word of prophecy.
What do you know, Josh?
Josh, he has his own idea of what he wants to hear. Like,
okay. What did you say?
So it sounds like from this medrash, I'm departing a little bit from the exact wording of the medrash. Sounds like from this medrash that there's 10 fasts, and the 10 fasts are put in the context of creation and Mashiach. It could have just said there's going to be 10 fasts in the world. It doesn't. It says there's 10 fasts from the time of creation until the time of the King Mashiach coming. It accentuates it. It highlights the fact that there's a fast in the time of Boaz the Tzaddik from Beis Lechem. It brings out that David is David HaMelech. There's a very strong theme running through these fasts, that these fasts are to bring this world.
Who was to the Derech Yesher?
What?
Who was Lamech?
Lamech was a descendant of Cain. These fasts are part of a process. It's a 10-step process to bring people to a level of Nevi'im, and that was what we were created for from the time of creation. And there's a process, an ongoing process from the time of creation till the time of Melech HaMashiach, which is facilitated in part by these fasts. So these fasts are Mashiach. This is part of the Mashiach process. Okay. That's.
You mean that after the 10th one happens, Mashiach comes?
That's the one we become prophets, right? That's the Mala, Ha'aretz, Deyas, Hashem. That everyone is going to be elevated in the time of Mashiach, and the level of understanding, Torah and Dvar Hashem, is going to be that of the prophets. We're going to be Nevi'im, and we're going to experience Nevuah. Mashiach is not just a kindly, benevolent king that is going to deliver us from our enemies and will establish some type of independence. Mashiach is there to bring us up to a level of Hiskarvus Lashem. And we were created from that. So that's why the Medrash tells us that these fasts are from creation until Mashiach.
Boaz, what's the importance
okay,
of saying
so
that he was at the time that
this
he lived
whole fast,
in?
This fast that Elimelech, Elimelech and his wife Nami and Machlon and Vakilian, they were driven outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, to tell you the truth, as we're going to see, as we get into the Sefer, Chazal find blame with Elimelech. He was a wealthy man. He deserted his people in a time of trouble. He should have stayed. There's some kind of impression that's conveyed that he was trying to save his own money because he didn't want the needs of the populace to be a drain on his finances. And this is the way we learned the Megillah for us when we were 6 or 7 years old. But Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity to relearn it all over again. And there's a much deeper level and a much more a level that's closer to the truth.
What was it? You said something about Boaz as fast that he was from.
Right, so that's the Targum elaborates on Boaz that he's a tzaddik and he's from Beis Lechem Yehuda. So tzaddik and Yehuda, I mentioned there.
And also Beis Lechem.
And Beis Lechem, right? This is prominent. The figure is prominently. Everything that happened in Beis Lechem Yehuda. So there's a lot to talk about here.
Beis Lechem slash Yehuda, or it's one name, Beis Lechem Yehuda?
There's no slashes in the Torah. There's no such thing as slashes in the Torah. Alright. I guess, I would like to share with you two approaches that they don't contradict each other, they shed light on one another. There's a Sefer on Megillas Rus, which was published pretty recently, but it was authored by Talmud Chacham by the name of Rabbi Moshe David Vali.
Vali
is Vav, Vav Aleph Lamed Yud. Rabbi Moshe David Vali left behind manuscripts. He lived about 300-400 years ago. He was actually a Chavrusa of Rabbi Moshe Chaim Litzato. And he worked with Rabbi Moshe Chaim Litzato on some of his Svarim. And he left behind manuscripts which were not published until, I mean, there's some volumes that are still coming out, but they've been coming out the last 25 years. So
are they in Latino or?
It's in Hebrew. We have it. It's right over there.
But didn't Duzzotto work in what's it
I
called?
I can't answer your question for
yeah,
what
Latino?
He did. I mean, Rav Moshe David Vali wrote it in Hebrew.
Latino.
He wrote it in Hebrew.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
yeah.
And he has a sefer on Chumash and on and Tanakh. And what we're about to share, with you, is drawn from his.
What's his initials? Are we using?
You make your own. Ramesh Dalad Valley. Ram Reish Man Dalad Vav.
Rimdu.
Ramesh Dalad Valley said, "Sefer Rus is the sefer of the creation of Mashiach." This is true on a very basic level because Rus and Boaz were the ancestors of Mashiach. Right, so that's Pasha, that's the Pasha Pshat. It's the creation of Melech HaMashiach. And a Kadosh Baruch is creating Melech HaMashiach.
He did this with Rabbi Luzzatto?
I said that there was some of Rabbi Luzzatto's farm that Rabbi Moshe Dovali worked with him on this. I didn't say the other way around, but Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto collaborated with Rabbi Moshe Dovali.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough. Okay. And he says a tremendous chiddush. He said a king has to be able to be cruel. You familiar with the Gemara? The father can be meichel on his covered, a rabbi can be meichel on his covered, a king cannot be meichel on his covered. We saw this live with David HaMelech
and
Uriah Achiti, the husband of Bathsheba, that he told Uriah Achiti to go home.
He didn't listen.
And he said, "I can't. I have to go to war. How could I go home when my brothers are at war?" And he, instead of going home, he slept with the servant of the king. And David HaMelech had him executed. Now David HaMelech wanted to send him home. If David HaMelech wanted to send him home, so then don't execute him, send him home. Do you know what happened to David because he didn't send him home? People found out about it. He wanted to send Uriah home so he would be with his wife, Bathsheba. And then even though she'd be,
he was high misa because he slept with somebody else, or because he was
high misa
because he didn't go home. He didn't listen to
David.
He slept with somebody else. He was married, so he's high misa.
He slept with somebody else. He slept in the army. He slept with the people.
Discussing what David was. Discussing Uriah Achiti. Uriah Achiti. He slept among them. I'm sorry. He slept among them. So David had no choice. You ask yourself the question. He's trying to stop the Chilul Hashem of people finding out that Bathsheba was impregnated by him. He wants to send Uriah home. He calls him back from the front to send him home so people will think that Uriah is the father. I can't discuss all the myriad details of this, but that was his plan, and everyone knows that's what his plan was. He called him back from the front, go home. Uriah said, I'm not going home. How can I go home when my brothers are at war? He said, I can't. And he disobeyed the king, and he stayed around the king's palace, and he didn't go home. Tala finds out in the morning that he didn't go home. He's a married by Malchus.
So he kind of messed up it over, but he didn't need to do. He had to.
But Yimela cannot be Michael on his covered. His own Rebbe, Shimon Ben Gera. Shimon Ben Gera was the Rebbe of Shlomo, and I cursed him. He killed him. He didn't do it himself.
He
let him live long enough to get married, have children, but he killed him. A king has to be able to make those decisions that you have to do what has to be done. Uriah Achiti was sent to the front. He told the general to make sure that he gets killed. There's a certain element of risk in the plan because the bullet could miss. But that's generally a death sentence. They tell him to lead the charge. Yeah, while they're pouring down boiling oil from the wolf with 300 archers. A king has to have cruelty. He also has to have compassion. There's no shortage of compassion among the Jewish people. Every Jew is fit to be a king if all you need is to be compassionate. But a king has to be cruel. And there is no, this is Rav Moshe David Vali. It's such a beautiful statement. It should lift you up. He said, there is no cruelty by the Jewish people. How about that? Where's cruelty? Aman and Mayev. The Jewish people, Avraham Avinu did everything for his nephew Light. He took him with him. He made him wealthy. Light was a very wealthy man. Made him wealthy. He saved his life. Him and his servant Eliezer took on the four kings, and the four kings beat the five kings. So you're basically taking on the world empire. And he rescued him. He did everything for Light. And in return, Light's descendants, and it wasn't that many generations later, four generations later. Yeah, Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi. No?
Alan.
What did you say? No, Avram Yisrael Yaakov Levi.
You're calling him.
Kahas. Amram Moshe. Six generations later. Six generations later, the Jewish people are going through the desert. They have no food. They have no water.
Airbags.
They have miracles, but no food, no water. The only thing they have is protein. They had meat. That's about it. But, you know, according to some views, they could only eat meat if they brought a carbon. So they didn't even have that. And they want bread and water, and they want to buy it, and Amram Moshe says no. Number one, they're cousins.
There are
so many ways. Light was Sarah's brother. Light was Avram's nephew. You can't get more related than that. And Light, the descendant from Light's daughters. That means that their great great grandfather was a cousin to Avram, and their great great grandmother was also a cousin to Avram. They have no other blood inside of them besides the Klal Yisrael's blood. And they won't sell them bread and water. Why? Cruelty. So Moshe David Vali says, Hashem said that Melech of Klal Yisrael needs to have cruelty. That means a Melech from Klal Yisrael has to come from Amon and Moav. Now how are you supposed to get cruelty from Amon and Moav? They're not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. They're evil. Because there's one. I mean, there's more than one. There's actually two. But right now we're going to discuss one. One was Ruth and one was the wife of King Shlomo, which was four generations later. There was Ruth, who was David's great-grandmother, and there was Naama, who was Shlomo's wife. And that was it. That means the entire Naama, the entire nations of Amon and Moav had no redeeming social value. But they existed because they produced two, that anyone that marries these two,
what?
Will produce children that will be able to be a king of Klal Yisrael.
Why is this such a hard to have that?
Oh, no, that's a good question. That's a good question. The daughters of Light, they committed something which the terrorist said was improper. So I'm not, the terrorist said it's improper. But let's discuss their motivation. Sodom and Amora was destroyed. So they did something which was wrong, but their kavana, their intention was to save the world. Okay? What does Mashiach do? He does something right to save the world. So they had a spus. Amon and Moav had a spus. Or their mothers. Their mothers had a spus. That even though they were misguided, even though what they did was considered tuma, but the kavana was not tuma. The kavana was to save the entire world. So Mashiach comes to them. That's amazing. But not through the men, because the men inherited the tuma gene through the women. Through the women, and not just any woman. We're going to see this Ruth, and then she had a sister, Arpah. There was a selection process. It's very, not just any woman. So Moshe David Vali said that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the famine. Why did he bring the famine? Because Elimelech was from Elimelech, Nami, and his children were descended from Yehuda. And Yehuda is going to be the progenitor, the ancestor of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael and Mashiach. And Yehuda needs to unite with Amon and Moav. Now, Sally Malchus and Beis Lachem, and Ruth is in Amon and Moav. People from Beis Lachem did not travel to Amon and Moav. It was not a place for any...
Far away also.
It was not a place to be. It was such a place of spiritual impurity that no decent human being would ever go there. No decent law-abiding, upright, moral person would ever go there. So how would it ever join? Hashem brought a famine. Which means that this entire famine had nothing to do with Bechira. Hashem is doing this. Hashem is doing this. The Bechira starts after this. We discussed this before in other venues.
that Akadosh Baruch Hu gives us bechira once he presents us with a certain set of choices, but the setup of those choices is not under our control. Akadosh Baruch Hu decides what choices we're going to choose, and then we choose it. So the first pasuk has nothing to do with anything personal, with any, it's a generic statement. The world needs a famine. Mashiach can only come through a famine. That's one of the things, one of the parts of the process. Things have to come together. And then the next pasuk talks about who it was, or what the names were. It's a pasuk. It's like,
I understand why the king has to be cruel. Why does Mashiach have to have a level?
Doesn't he? No, chas v'shalom. A king does not have to be cruel. He has to be able to exercise the need of cruelty.
Same.
He can't be cruel.
He has to have the ability to be cruel.
To exercise cruelty. To act in a cruel manner. But in his heart, he can't be cruel at all. Does that answer your question?
Needs to be able to act cruelly.
Exactly.
Right. Why does Mashiach need that same characteristic?
He's a king.
And Mashiach is a king?
Mm-hmm.
Melech Mashiach.
So what went wrong? You know, Chazal still say that they speak about Eli Melech in terms of failure. What did he do wrong? He was set up.
He didn't have to choose to go.
It seems that choosing to go was what Hashem wanted him to choose. You know, that's not because Baruch of the Benayit Shiva Islands, Hashem manipulates the world in
she
a way.
Could have come to him.
The Ramesh Dabur Vali says that going down was not the problem. It was his kavana when he went down. If he would have gone down like this, I'll paraphrase him. I want to stay in Eretz Yisrael. I can't. I don't have enough. We're starving, the family, this and that. And I'm trying, he's trying to hang on there. And the family gets...
Rich?
He was rich.
So
he lost everything, though.
Well,
there he lost everything.
I mean, he's rich, he can, like, even if there's no food, he can still...
Yeah, well, in Eretz Yisrael, he was rich. All the calculations, he just doesn't see how he can make it. It just, the numbers don't add up. He spoke to his accountant, the numbers don't add up. The only way he could stay is a mace, and ain't sent for all mace. And then the next step, he's a tzaddik. Why is Rabbi Hashem doing this? It must be because Rabbi Hashem has a reason for me to go elsewhere. Does he know what it is? Not necessarily. But he knows that Rabbi Hashem wants him elsewhere. Where is there food? Amram Layev. So if there's no food here and there's food there, you know, Avraham Avinu. I'm just saying, if he would have done this, Eli Melech. If Avraham Avinu did it. Avraham Avinu did it twice.
Yaakov also.
Yitzchak did it. Yaakov did it. The Shvatim did it. You hear? He's also doing it.
Wait, but the.
You know, do
it. It's
right.
Dad, no.
Right. I'm not saying, yeah. There is a difference between what they did and what he did because they were told by Hashem to do it. And he made his own calculations. But even though he made his own calculations, he could have been making them properly if he had the attitude that he's going there to be Mekayim and Ratzon Hashem. And then Nachman and Kilya and his sons would have met, you know, either Rus or Arpa. They would have had a proper L'shem Shemayim marriage. And he'd come back to Eretz Yisrael and start the process of Mashiach.
What did Boaz come out of Elimelech and Naomi from there?
Boaz was Elimelech's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
What was the problem? That there was something lacking in his kavana. He didn't see himself as in the hands of the Hashgacha Pratis, of the divine supervision or divine intervention. And he went, you know, there was something missing of his, someone of his level, someone of his stature, some of his titkis. He went, you know, for some self-serving interest. So Ramesh Dalavali says that there was no shortcoming, no failure in what he did. It was all minashamayim. It was just in the way he went about it. So that's it.
Was he punished for this? Or
yes, he lost everything. He lost everything. There's a lot of Muslim in the pasuk Eli Melech. If you break it apart, Eli Melech. What does Eli Melech mean? The king is coming to me.
Are we stopping here?
she's likely to stop.
Yeah, question.
Okay, so say this, so Mitzvah Shem on Sunday we'll start the Megillah. This is a new of introduction.
There we go.